Can I go?
Okay, I'm going to try this.
I'm Julian Fleischer, host of the Naked American Songbook. My worker bees and I are toiling away to make our third season the best season yet. In the meantime, here's a little preview of what's to come. Let's get naked. We have just held the first ever live taping of the Naked American Songbook. Now, usually I undress with my guests here in the privacy of the Naked American Studios, but this time we took it all off for a sold-out audience at Lincoln Center. For the full episode, you'll have to wait for season three, but right now, here's a little bit of what went down at Lincoln Center.
Thank you all so very much. I'm very pleased to see you all here with us at the beautiful Bruno Walter Auditorium.
Yeah, located in the library.
I called him Walter the first time I came here and got in big trouble from my father. But this is obviously a very special night for the Naked American Songbook. Does anybody know what that is when I say Naked American Songbook? Are you all familiar with the radio show? Good. Thank you. That's cool. I didn't know we were going to have applause signs. Oh, we're going to be fine. Wow. So I shouldn't think that was me who earned that. Right? I didn't actually earn it. It's just you're being told what to do. I like it a lot. But we wanted to create a show that was really about the fans of the music. So we didn't spend a lot of time interviewing great makers of music. I thought it would be more fun to interview other people like me and probably like the audience for the show who are just lovers of the music. It sort of becomes like a group therapy session, a kind of an encounter group for people who have this fetish, and we get to share it as fellow fans. So in general, to bring a superstar songwriter into that mix would be like bringing Elvis into a tour of Graceland, you know? And that could make people uncomfortable.
So those of you who have never seen me before will realize tonight that I'm totally insane.
You don't bring your dealer to your 12-step meeting, you know? If you're cracked out on Gershwin, you don't want to bring Gershwin into the room. It's a little embarrassing. So let's get to it. My guest tonight, as you probably know, is one of the great songwriters alive today. He has, over the last 25 years or so, as a leader of such bands as The Sixth, Future Bible Heroes, and The Three Terrors, and Gothic Archies, and of course, The Magnetic Fields, he has unfurled a series of recordings that are virtually unmatched.
Fox and I. Decades later at my DJ night, our conversation takes flight. Craftwork and clavichords.
I'm telling you, I don't have room on my iPad to outline all of his works, but set aside a day, because it's an astonishing catalog the man has developed, and it's a real great pleasure to introduce to you a hero of mine, and I suspect a hero of many of yours. I guess Elvis is in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Stephen Merritt.
Thank you. I think I should mention that I'm actually not in the Archies.
Oh, you're not?
Sugar.
I knew I was going to see. I knew this was going to happen.
The Gothic Archies.
I said yes. The Gothic Archies.
You left out the Gothic part. Oh, I must have had a little mini seizure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, whoever said that.
The Count has an eye on his ankle and lives in a horrible place.
Right, I said the Gothic Archies.
Oh, good, good.
All right. But I was afraid this would happen because I know how particular you can be, and you like to get things right.
Me?
Just a little bit. But you didn't need an applause sign when you came out.
So, what other signs are there?
Well,
I see exit. We have.
Yeah, we can use those whenever you want. Oh, my. So, you have been busy lately. Let's just catch up briefly, if you don't mind. What have you... when we decided to do this, I was unaware that this would coincide with the launch of your latest massive project.
Right. So, on March 10th, I will have released...
I will have been releasing...
the 50-song memoir album by the Magnetic Fields, which is 50 autobiographical songs. I am from this area, I guess, sort of. All True, which is not what I usually do. Usually I write in characters, but for this one, I'm the character, and there's 50 songs.
And I saw it at BAM, because you got it up on its feet as a glorious and beautiful concert, two-night concert, 25 songs and 25 songs?
Yes.
Beautifully staged with his band and with video and a set and lights. It's a really remarkable concert, and the songs were glorious. I didn't think it was possible for you to continue to... I don't know how you do it, Stephen. I just don't know how you do it.
Well, I hire people to do the glorious sets and costumes and such. I have the director here, in fact.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Who is that?
He's Jose Zayas, and he's in the back row.
Applause.
Now, strip.
So, yeah, as you said, on March 10th, it's going to release. It's going to
drop. Or will have been released, depending
on... It will have been released on the 10th.
Yes.
Well, by the 11th, it will have been released. At some point on the 10th, it's going to, like at midnight.
By March 11th, it will have been released.
Right. And how long does it take a person, specifically this person, to write 50 songs about oneself?
About a year and 8 months, except that some of the songs pre-existed.
Just a few of them?
Minus about 4 songs, a year and 8 months.
That is astonishing. Does that writing also include the time that you spend producing it?
It took a year and a half to record, and I wrote for a few months before that, so I'm really estimating a year and 8 months.
Wow, that's incredible. For anybody who ever has had any experience writing and or recording, you can just imagine how much that is to do in that amount of time.
I had help.
You did?
Yes, other people recorded things as well. Thomas Bartlett recorded, I believe you know Thomas Bartlett.
I do.
Recorded 10 or 12 songs, depending on how you count. And I sometimes put more on top of that and sometimes just left it as it gloriously was.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
Yes, and he also works far faster than I do. So instead of taking a week to record a song, he takes an hour to record a song.
Look up there, I'm in heaven.
Thomas Bartlett is a terrific pianist who often goes by the name Dove Man. His playing is always beautiful. It cuts to your heart real fast.
Yes, and he's quick.
And he's cute, if I remember correctly, from our time together. So we're going to hear a lot about this record over the coming months, as it will have been released on the 10th. But I'm more curious...
Is a coming month.
Yes, it is. I think so. We're going to hear more about that. But I like to talk on this show about the songs that you consider important to you as a person, as a human. While we're on the subject of Hollywood ladies who could be David Bowie, how about Doris Day? You chose Let the Little Girl Limbo.
Yes, it's not the first song you think of when you think of Doris Day.
Right.
But it's maybe the most fun song you think of.
She recorded it twice.
She recorded everything twice.
This one she recorded the second time like a week after the first recording.
Ah.
Did you know this?
I don't think I did. I have her Bear Family box sets. I think it's 4 multi-disc box sets that have her entire recorded output until her album 2 or 3 years ago.
So you're a big fan of hers?
Of course. Who else is there?
Well, I thought Ella Fitzgerald, but...
An important precursor.
Ooh, wow. But we'll save the fisticuffs for after the show.
You hit the spot like a balmy breeze on a night in May. You hit the spot like a cool mint julep on a summery day.
So I'm curious which of these two arrangements that we have is the one that you like. Because is it the song? Is it the singer? Is it the track? Is it the production?
Ooh, I guess we'll have to listen to all of both versions to figure out.
All right, well, let's start with...
I think probably there's a stereo version and a mono version.
Well, there's one version produced by her son. I believe it was the first one, and that her son was Terry Melcher, who was also...
A good record producer, yes.
But I think she was unhappy, or either she and her husband were unhappy with that recording, and they went in again.
Well, anyway, let's hear the mono version.
Okay, so let's listen to the first version.
party really swung that night, but I didn't know a soul. Then someone said, let's have fun, bring out that limbo pole. They pushed right by me onto the floor, and I felt so left out.
Let's go to the other version.
Let's go to the other version. So let me ask you something. When do you listen to this? Like, do you just pop it on in the morning? Do you pop it on at night? Give me a picture of you as a listener, as a consumer of music.
I listen a lot in the car. And when I listen at home, I generally listen with headphones on, alone. And when I listen to Doris Day box sets, I usually listen to the entire Doris Day box set.
I get your point.
Way.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. So, okay, let's hear the second
version. I
remember
there being more double tracking, so let's hear the other version. Higher key.
The party really this is the version you like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's jankier.
And then someone said, let's have fun. Bring out that limbo pole. They pushed right by me onto the floor.
I guess this is the preferred version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this box that came out, what, you said in the 90s?
Well, I got it in the mid-90s. It'd probably been out for a bit before that. And Bear Family, which is a German reissue label who did a lot of country box sets.
Bear Family.
Almost
as
all
in
of
Bayer,
the
like the people who made the aspirin? Or is that B-A-Y?
No, B-E-A-R, the people who made
CD box sets.
Chubby Hairy Guys.
All right, groovy. And this was written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil.
Weil,
Bruno Walter and Cynthia Weil, the famous songwriting team behind On Broadway. And
with a conspicuously Doris Day-like hairstyle.
Oh, yeah. Well, she probably made her rich, so...
Yeah, sure.
Better wear her
wig.
She
was able to go to the same salon.
Yeah. So if anybody's seen the Broadway musical Beautiful, you'll know that these two folks play a big part in the story of Carole King's development, at least as far as that musical is concerned, as a great songwriting talent. Assure everyone listening on the radio that Stephen, I, and our entire audience are now completely naked. We look great.
Just like Jonathan Schwartz.
Thanks to Stephen Merritt, his new Magnetic Fields album, 50-song memoir, will have been out on March 10th. Thank you very much. I'm Julian Fleischer for the Naked American Songbook. Thank you for coming. Please do keep it naked. Subscribe to hear more of my live chat with Stephen Merritt on season 3 of the Naked American Songbook. Bonus points if you share the podcast with a friend. Very special thanks to Evan Leslie at the library. Why can't I say library? I don't know. A very special thanks to Evan Leslie at the Library for the Performing Arts at Lincoln Center for pulling all of this together. Don't be a stranger. Our show page is nakedamericansongbook.org, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Tell us what you think.
In der Bruno Walter Auditorium. Ja, located in der Library. Okay. Das ist nicht gut. Das ist schlecht.